CUNA City Board of Correction Meeting, Tuesday, March 18th, 2014.
And we'll call the, what is this called, the Annual Board of Corrections Meeting to order, and would you do a roll call, please, Brody?
Council President Cardoza.
Here.
Councilmember Jones.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhar. Councilmember Steer.
Here.
Mayor Nelson.
Here, thank you. And I think probably, Gordon, we'll just kind of turn the meeting over to you for...
That would be fine.
Lay it on us, please.
I'll drag this out as long as you can stand it.
Did you want to recognize anyone in the audience?
I think this is better than the other way, isn't it? Mr. Mayor, members of council, annually, in compliance with state code, we need to hold a Board of Correction for the purpose of adjusting any assessments which have been applied in error. We also, I guess, combine this with a second function also outlined in state code, which is if there's any corrections that that need to be made in previous years or anything related to those assessments, they can also be adjusted in this meeting because the same noticing requirements apply, same people are involved. So yeah, you have broad latitude on what you choose to do in this meeting. Generally, the issues are raised by individuals, but occasionally staff will have items that need to be raised. We did not receive any indication from anybody that they had an issue to protest. And I understand the same is true for you, and city clerk did not receive any. And we have nothing to report here. Theoretically, we need to conduct a business sufficient to resolve the issues to last as long as 3 days, but in recent times that hasn't taken quite that long. So, Mr. Mayor, I've also included items here that may be of interest to council. And in addition, since this is Councilman Jones' first time through this process, I'd like to give Councilman Jones time to ask any questions that he wishes to about this process. Be happy to answer any of those questions. Items for your consideration is we included a list of the 2011 delinquencies that have not been redeemed, and that list was attached to your packet. I think there was, what, 8 or 9 on the list?
Seven. One and one paid, so there had been 8 and there's 7 left.
Yes, 7. I don't know what to tell you about any of these individuals. They have now been sent an individual letter, isn't that correct?
Yes, it went out yesterday.
Sent an individual letter notifying them that if the delinquency is not corrected, the city can take a tax deed on their property. We know that at least one of these properties, Oasis Properties LLC, habitually waits to the very end to redeem theirs, so we expect they will do it again this year. The others I'm not familiar with. Breckenberry, I guess, is a special case, and then that's an HOA with responsibility for, what, 3 common lots?
3 common lots, yes.
And then they, some time ago, they dissolved their HOA, that old problem, and now it becomes a little difficult to go back and collect it. So what we've been doing is billing each property owner in the subdivision individually for a prorated share. Not prorated, but actually it's a divided interest, isn't it?
Right. It's 17 homes in the subdivision divided by the total amount due divided by 4 months. It came out to be about $5 for 4 months to be able to get covered.
So I don't know whether you want to ask any questions about that.
So what happens if only some people pay?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
So in the Breckenberry issue, what happens if only some people pay?
I'll leave that to Attorney Rhodes.
What I've done is I drafted a letter, I think it's going to go out today or tomorrow, that explains the process to them, and we're trying to minimize the financial impact. Actually, Breckenberry Homeowners Association is only dissolved administratively because there was nobody on the board anymore, so, and nobody filed the paperwork, so they didn't take the necessary steps. And in fact, they can't because there's an outstanding obligation, so they can't dissolve it anyway. So I've explained that they're individually liable as part of the Homeowners Association for that amount, and put that on their bill, and explained it to them and asked them to contact me or John if they have any questions regarding that. We did that in Roeder Meadows, and I believe all but one paid. The option then is if we want to go forward and either turn off their utilities or send it to collections. What it does is we will pool with, we took 2011, 12, and 13 and divided it by the amount due. But we'll use that first amount, what comes in, to pay off the one, because Idaho code says that if it's not paid, that we have to take that property by tax, which we don't want to do, and that gives us a little bit more time to figure out how we want to work this up. Thankfully, again, it's, you know, this is the only one that we have with one of these HOAs, and it's such a small amount that the hope is that everybody will just pay it. If not, I'll come back before council and ask for your advice on how you want us to proceed, by either shutting off the utility for those that didn't pay or some other method of collection.
Wouldn't the only utility that gets shut off be the common area?
Well, we put it onto the property owner's individual bill. So that's the question is, they may not care. If it was a common area, they may be more concerned. And we passed that resolution that unpaid irrigation will result in the turnoff of their utilities. But we haven't made a decision yet on if we go back on the ones that are delinquent. That was for the current year's assessment that we've been doing that on. So that's that area that we'll need to decide on how we want to do. But the idea would be that it would be on there. And but we really tried to minimize it to the bare minimum amount, just to get it taken care of. And if we have to work with somebody, we probably could do that too. But it's, I think, $5 a month for 4 months to take care of it. So it's not a substantial amount of money.
Yeah, I would hope they pay it. I just didn't know if legally we could shut off the water. If they pay their home assessment, but they don't pay the $5 for the common lot, it seems like our recourse is shutting off the common lot, not their home water.
But they are stakeholders in that common lot, and essentially they are responsible for 1/17 of that as part of their utility structure. So
legally we can shut off water to a property that's already been paid if they haven't paid for a different one? That's what I'm saying. It seems
right.
Like we wouldn't
yeah.
be able to do that.
Well, what we're doing is assessing that to that amount, and that's what we did, obviously, on the resolution, and that's something we'll have to look at a little bit more on how we want to go with this. Again, the hope is that they just pay it off.
Right, right.
And I do understand the dilemma between, you know, the common lot and the individual lot if they haven't paid it, but it's an allocation of it. So if somebody were to say, I'm not paying $5 for this, you know, then we would have to decide how we want to proceed, because clearly then their amount would be paid in full for their home.
I would think they're, well, I agree to disagree. We wouldn't be able to take their home property for not paying the HOA portion, because it's the HOA portion, like that's the portion that would revert back to us, the common lot, not their individual house. We couldn't sell their house for failure to pay the common lot. We'd sell the common lot. That's why I feel like we can't turn off their home water, because it's not the property that they're not paying for.
Right, although it's not allocated, that's what I'm suggesting, is if they designate the allocation of where it goes.
Right, if they pay theirs and say, but I'm not paying the
$5.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Versus if it's just paid, that portion of it, we would be paying under our ordinance, the oldest building's paid first.
Okay.
So it would be paying that off, and they would still owe $5 for the current.
For the, that makes sense. Got it.
You know, I'm not sure how this works out. I've never heard of a case to test that. It's actually, I mean, we use it almost accidentally, like to collect garbage bills, same way, or to collect sewer bills by shutting off the potable water. So it seems to have somewhat of a long history, although I would not be the one to tell you whether that's legal or not. So you can tell me all you want about it. I just know that I would not recommend the city take the common property.
Oh, no.
I don't see that that's... that has two negative things. First of all, there were reasons why that common property was part of the subdivision from the very beginning. And second of all, I don't think it necessarily provides us anything that's sellable. So.
Yeah.
But it does really point out that those little common lots are just useless.
Yeah.
And no homeowners association, well, maybe some wealthy ones, but for the most part, they just fall in disfavor by everybody, and then what do you do with them?
And the statute is mandates that if it's not paid, we take it, and it doesn't give us an out. You know, legally, if it's not paid, we have to take those things. So I'm trying to create a way that we can get these things so we're not in violation of state code. And what I don't want to do is, the minute we take one of these, you know, everybody's going to say, well, we're not paying, take ours, because we're going to own it, we're going to have to maintain it, pay for the irrigation and do all that other stuff, and we simply don't want to do that.
Yeah.
We don't even want to open that door. So,
what are other cities doing? We're not, surely not the only city that's got...
No, I can tell you, I did call around a couple of years ago trying to find out what everybody was doing to handle the HOA situation when HOAs didn't want to perform. And for instance, our neighbor Meridian files a lien on their property. So that kind of goes back to Councilman Brianna's question. And then they collect it when it changes hands. I mean, that's another possibility. I kind of think that this is less onerous, but I don't know what to do with it, actually.
Well, it's just a mess.
Yeah. It would suggest that any time we process another preliminary plat, we should be looking at these
right.
uneconomical remnants and make sure that we're not setting ourselves up to own them someday.
So when we send out 17 bills now, are we adding an administrative fee to each one to make up for the difference in staff time, and or is it just split 17 ways? And
we didn't do that. Presumably that's all covered by the when Gordon accounts for the administrative expense and the irrigation. We don't have a mechanism to say, you know, if we have to do this, then we get to charge $3 more. Quite frankly, you know, $5 isn't a month, is not much, and I just would prefer to get it paid off. Thankfully, again, we don't have very many of these, and it worked out well on Rotor Meadows. I hope Breckenberry, we can say the same, and then we'll look at some other mechanism in the future to take care of these, including at preliminary plat stage. Instead of having these teeny little common lots that really only benefit the fences that join them, you know, having maybe a contribution so we can get some community parks that are advantageous to more than just a few people, and we're not fighting about who's going to maintain it and pay for the irrigation. You know, everybody views it as an asset right now. They view it as a liability that they don't want, and if they read the law, they realize that if they don't pay it, that the city has to take it back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, the other item that I included in here was a brief accounting of the water used in the pressure irrigation system over the last year, the drought year. And I don't know whether the numbers will give you the flavor of what's going on here, but hopefully at least gets us started. And I'll keep talking on it until you tell me to quit. You will note that we pumped through our pump stations 666 million gallons. We had delivered to those pump stations 901 million gallons. So you've got a difference between how much we actually pumped out of the station and how much was delivered to it. And that is what I consider to be wastage, because it goes out of the station and down the drain ditch. We don't get to use it. And it's generally caused by the nature of the demand of the individual users, which is generally concentrated in the early morning hours and is very low in the late afternoon hours. Our system works best if people would use it equally throughout the day. But when we can't take it, particularly through our pump stations, which have no pond, then it just has to go out the back end and is wasted. So that's about 26% last year. Probably the best ratio we've ever had, primarily because of the drought. And it forced people to water it or use the irrigation water at other unpreferred times of the day. Another thing that you'll see that we use virtually all of our water, all of it was delivered through the gates except 14 million gallons. And so we used almost all of it. Another number you should pay attention to is how much potable water we use, which includes the cost of pumping and includes the cost of the chemicals we add to the drinking water. That number, 345 million gallons, is a rather substantial amount of contribution to the drinking water system to the irrigation system. Do you have any questions about any of the items here?
Do you think it would be successful if we tried to undertake more of a like public awareness type campaign where we highlighted, you know, in our very best usage year in the recent past, we still wasted a quarter of our water, and ways that we can fix this is, you know, and really tried harder to get people. I mean, I know there's no stick involved in this, and probably no carrot either, except the good feeling of not wasting as much water. But even though, like, so I know some people's subdivisions never passed along the information that we were asking odd addresses to water on odd days and even on even days. My subdivision passed it along, but it was mentioned once and never again, and, you know, there was no real follow-up or encouragement to really stick to it. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on whether you think, you know, some sort of a public awareness kind of campaign or further efforts along those lines would be beneficial?
I felt that more could be accomplished through that public information approach to things. And I'm not going to whine and complain. It just happens to occur right at the most busy time of the year for me. So there's a tendency for me to set it off to priority number 10 and the other nine get the attention. But certainly I think there are a lot of people that have the misconception that they're saving water by watering from 2 in the morning until 10 in the morning. In our system, it doesn't work that way. And I think there's a whole lot of people that don't realize that it doesn't work that way, which suggests to me that some type of public education approach would have a positive effect.
Yeah, because I think they probably think, you know, if I water for 10 minutes, then it's equivalent to having to water for 20 minutes in the peak heat of the day. And so I think definitely if we could explain that we would rather have you water for 20 minutes in the peak heat of the day, because actually that is better for the whole system. I think really getting down to the nuts and bolts of that kind of stuff would be helpful. I don't know that we would want to assign certain subdivisions or areas to have to water at those times, because I think they would be probably considered the least appealing times, and people would probably resent only getting to water then. But I also don't want to make it so complicated that, you know, for this month I'm supposed to water at this time, and then next month it changes to this other. Like, I think the more complicated, the more likely people are to say, forget about it.
Yeah. Maybe to give you even on the technical aspects of things, and not to leave the idea that public education would have a profound effect. We have 6 pump stations. 3 of those pump stations have storage with them. The other 3 don't. By and large, this wastage is coming from those 3 that don't have storage. And that amounts to 25% of our total water deliveries, even as it was last year, 25%. So one of the things that's suggested by that is maybe we ought to go back and relook at the possibility of adding storage, buffer storage, to the 3 pump stations that we don't have it in. Of those 3 that don't have it, one is Chaparosa, one is Tomorrow Subdivision, and the 3rd one is Crimson Point Subdivision. Mm-hmm. Of those 3, probably the only one that has enough room that we might be able to purchase property and construct a storage facility, a pond, is Chaparosa. Hmm. Just a thought. I went through and did some rather rough calculations to figure out how much storage we would need to provide at each of these pump stations, and it would be about 900,000 gallons at each one of them. And so the question is, okay, how do we do it, and what's the least expensive way to do it? And still trying to sort that one through, trying to figure out how we do it. So another thing that we might consider, and I toyed with the idea of at least raising the subject with council tonight, At the new treatment plant, we average about 35 miners inches of water discharged, average throughout the day. That just goes down to Indian Creek and off-site. It's very clean water, but not everybody thinks it is. I wouldn't drink it, but I think I could water grass with it. But I would be interested to have council's feelings of whether we ought to push for the inclusion of that water into our PI system. There will be certain regulations that we have to follow, but there's also some savings that we could enjoy too, like not having to add chemical to remove phosphorus out of the water before we discharge it, because that would work out just fine on lawns. So I'd be interested to hear what council's comments is. Is it something that just gags you to death? And if it is, I'm not interested in bringing it up again. But if it's something you want to explore as responsible citizens and full usage of our assets to the best way possible.
It doesn't sound like you have an opinion on this.
I'm trying not to lay on you on this one. Just, I'd be interested to know what you really think.
I think if it's feasible to do, it's be a great idea.
I mean, we have the luxury of not needing, I mean, you know, it's supposed to be a good water year, but certainly if projections turned out the way they were supposed to and we were going to be in dire need, I think it would be irresponsible not to look into every avenue available to us, so.
I've talked to Boise Project Board of Control, and they said we're getting 1 foot. Now they've talked to them again, and it's 1.2. Last year we got 1.4, so we're doing worse this year than last year.
Oh, that's
we're really good on rain. There's no snow, and the reservoirs are dry. So I'm getting that a lot, that we're doing really good, but it's just the opposite. We're going to be worse this year than last year.
Huh.
Okay.
But it's still really early. They amended this up last year. I think they will this year, too.
I'm hoping so. We have 2 weeks left to find out that actually.
You know, the interesting part about us taking phosphorus out, sending phosphorus-free water down Indian Creek, it makes no difference whatsoever to give, like, Middleton a break or Caldwell a break or any of those lower that we're sending in free water. We were discussing that at the Treasure Valley Partnership, and you know that it was Greenleaf that was fussing quite a bit, and yet, you know, the fact that we're doing it and sending water that's free down, you'd think that would help somebody. Yeah. Just, well, the way the EPA does it, it's our responsibility to take it out and make any difference to all of those in the lower. The only one that they're after is Boise, you know, to cut a huge amount out, so at a huge cost.
Would any of you revolt at the idea of having that treated water in the PI system?
Is there a reason we should?
I can't think of any. But it's always perception that makes
sense. Sounds good to me.
Well, isn't that what Meridian does for their common spaces?
They have obtained a permit to take treated wastewater, which is not as clean as ours, and use it on their public parks. And they use it on the 10-mile interchange, the landscaping around it.
Because their DEQ has a little bit of trouble with that on lawns, don't they?
Whenever I've raised the issue with them, they have trouble coming to the battle to try to convince regular folks that this is okay.
Yeah, it's simpler for them not to think about it, but, you know, Gordon had talked to JUB about proposing the University of Idaho to do a little research on it, because I don't think EPA will ever give, or DEQ will ever give until the university says, there's no problem here, you ought to accommodate it. Other states do, you should too, and here's the facts. So probably the best we would be able to do is, like Meridian, get a permit for common spaces. I don't know if they give on lawns until the university told them that they had to.
Well, I think until somebody puts it in front of them, that's very easy for them to back away until the issue's in front of them. I just wanted to know what you folks felt. Sounds like you're not opposed to the idea.
Well, especially, you know, if we're heading into some drought years that are, you know, we're either going to have no water or they're going to use, you know, some that's got less phosphorus in it or something.
It might get better public perception, too, if we try to push it now with less water. Maybe they can accept it more than they would if we were overflowing water.
Yeah.
Just do it and don't tell anybody.
Or we can just use the slogan, it's still cleaner than Meridian's.
Yeah, right.
Even though everybody wants to live in Meridian.
Mr. Mayor, I can't drag this thing out anymore.
Hey. Any other discussion on this or on anybody in the council? Yeah.
I said one question. Gordon?
Yes.
Is there a dollar amount attached to the wasted water of what we're having to pay to get it and not use it, send it down the... Do you have any idea?
Well, presumptively, that 235 million gallons? I think our billing rate, I think this year, is 50 cents per 1,000 gallons. So if you can figure it out from there...
She'll figure it out.
$100,000? I think that's right.
Well, that might be another enticement to maybe get people on board to water at different times that maybe they would realize we're saving some money. Because once you show dollar amounts, I think they would see that more than they would actual water. Mm-hmm.
I could report on the well rehabs that we've been doing. We had well 6 that, use my words, blew up on us, lost the pumping plant, and that was appropriate time to do a camera inspection of the casing and the downhole condition of the well. That's when we discovered that there was a biological growth that was going on in there, concerned that it may be using iron as its food source, in other words, the casing material, and found out that it wasn't using iron as its food source, but we still have to be concerned about the slime that the bacteria creates sealing up the aquifer and making it less productive. So we rebuilt the pump, and we shock treated the water in the well, and then reset the rebuilt pump and motor back over the hole and started producing from it last week. So well six is back on. It's one of the more productive wells, and also provides probably some of the better tasting water that we've got in our suite of wells. The other well that we've been focusing on and are still working on is well number three, which we also call the Butler well. It's the oldest one of our potable wells that we've got in the system, so we were somewhat concerned with that one for two reasons. One of them, it's been producing foul-tasting and foul-smelling water, which we receive complaints every time we bring it online, naturally. In addition to that, because the hole was as old as it was, we were concerned that the downhole condition of the casing wasn't going to be good. When we pulled the pump column out of that one, run the camera down it to check the condition of the casing, found that there were two holes in what's called the head pipe, which is the pipe over top of the screens. So we found two holes there. It looks like they may be reacting with other water in the hole to create what's known as green rust, which does create a foul taste and odor. In addition to that, it may be that the formations that we're producing from just simply have bad tasting water, or some of them may, and we're exploring that right now. What we did find was that the casing was in good shape except for the two holes. So our original plan was to take that well and convert it exclusively to an irrigation well. But when we found the casing to be in as good a shape as it was, and also found the two holes in the casing where it looked like it might be producing foul water by chemical reaction, approached the mayor with the idea that maybe to the possibility of foregoing the drilling of the additional well is such a big economic decision that considered it was worthwhile to bet a few chips on the table to see if we could recover that well. The way you would do that is first of all, you've got to stop the two holes from mixing with the other water, so you got to block those off. The other thing is that we're checking to see whether we can identify portions of the aquifer which we're producing from that might have the fouler tasting water, and see if we can occlude them or prevent them from producing water through those portions of the aquifer. So we're working on that process of trying to analyze the situation and characterize the problem enough where we can make some appropriate decisions. Possibility exists when all is said and done, we might just wasted our money, but we figured the possibility of the savings to the city was sufficient enough to warrant it. Any questions you have on that one? Hey, Mr. Mayor, turn it back to you.
Okay. Well, we kind of got this portion of the meeting done relatively early. So I guess we probably need to adjourn this Board of Corrections meeting. So unless somebody has some more Board of Corrections things, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Motion carries. Adjourn the Board of Corrections, and we'll wait to start the council meeting at 7.
They probably have an idea what
super
down the hole until I run.
Can you just send that back to her and say no?
No. In Canada, they have it accurately identified how deep it is. And so everything that they do after that.
I want to talk to you about this Chinese conversation, and we can more formalize in the future, but
I don't know if that answers the question.
It's like looking at in
well,
space.
So the Chamber of Commerce,
when you,
and I think it needs a little bit. We're wondering, birthday date to be separate? Because I know, like, for council, it had always been billed as we were celebrating the 150th at Cunity's, and that's why, like, we dedicated money for
well,
a parade grandstand and so much more for fireworks and stuff, and now there's a whole second thing a month